Blog Talk Radio.
Amana L. Bay, and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Our special guest is Nicola M. Hurst, author of the book, What is Recovering from 2020? And I think she's got another book out. We're going to ask her about that when she gets in here. The number to dial into the broadcast is 515-605-9757. Press 1 on your phone. That'll give me an indication that you have something to say. We will be dealing with the following questions. What are the media and the United States government hiding? What is the 1111 minded? What is that? What is meant by media diversion? What is recovering from 2020? What is the U.S. military covering up? Where are we now in America in 2022? These are just a few of the questions that we're going to be dealing with here tonight. And keep in mind, on Morris Talk Live 100, our special guest will be Sister Nicola M. Hurst. And the title of the broadcast is Just Because It's New Doesn't Mean It's Good. And a lot of times we run into stuff like that. We feel like, oh, well, you know, that's new. But it's good for us. Nevertheless, we're going to go down in these commercials. When we come back, we'll be ready to go into the broadcast. Y'all hold your hat a minute, and we'll be right back. Okay?
The greatest move you can make beginning in 2022 is to move out of the public and into the private. That's how you get rid of student loans, child support, mortgages, foreclosures, and all this kind of business. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out my contact us form by leaving your email address, and I'll rush my free report straight to your email box. Our economy is in shambles today for people who insist on living in the public. Move into the private. Make an easy transaction. Go to www.TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the contact us form and I'll rush you my free report. As a secured party and creditor, can you buy a home, a car, and other items you need and want? The answer is yes, and there are documents you use to do just that. Catch my radio podcast at Blog Talk Radio. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the box with your email address that say join our mailing list, and I will send you my free report. You got credit problems? Contact me at TahakaDebtElimination.org. Let's stay in honor and get into the private. When you know what the Internal Revenue Service is and what their job and duties are, you can use the correct way to deal with them. There's a remedy for you to use. When it comes to the IRS, go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the box with your email address that says join our mailing list. The Internal Revenue Service is a private for profit corporation, but there are rules and regulations. Get my free report. Learn about what's going on in America today. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Lose your fear for the Internal Revenue Service by knowing exactly what to do based on what you know about them and what remedies are available to you to use. TahakaDebtElimination.org. Peace. Hello, everybody. I want to introduce you to The Great Debate by Dr. Walter Williams. He single-handedly laid out the facts in this powerful debate against Mr. Munir Muhammad of the Nation of Islam, Chester Blair, a prominent lawyer in Chicago, Illinois, and Reverend Henry Hardy, a prominent minister in Chicago, and Prince Aziel ben Israel of the Hebrew Israelites. This debate was hosted by a retired policeman named W.L. Lillard. Now, the whole thing was a setup by Lillard and his gang, but it didn't work. They brought what they believed to the table, but Dr. Walter Williams brought what he knew for a fact and what he could prove and laid it on the table. We are now in the age of knowing. The age of walking around believing this stuff is over. For your copy of The Great Debate, go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org, or contact me by phone. My number's on the website. Oh, and by the way, the lawyer got bust up too. The Great Debate, get your copy today. Good day and peace. All right, everybody, we're back. I'm waiting on my special guest to get in here, Sister Nicola M. Hurst. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to dial to this broadcast, once again, is 515-605-9757. Press 1 on your phone. That'll give me an indication that you got something to say, and I'll open up the line so you can get in. Otherwise, I don't know when you're here and when you ain't. 515-605-9757. Press one on the phone. That'll give me an indication you got something to say. Now, I want to give a shout-out, first of all, to the young brother that called me this morning. And he's said he's been working on becoming a secured party, and he's learned a few things here and there. And but nevertheless, he's on the straight and narrow today, and I'd like to give him a shout out and say congratulations. You're well on your way. He's moving toward his secure party and creditor and getting out of the public and into the private. And that's very, very important, because inside the United States of America, the only thing that they, the United States is a corporation, the only thing they can do business with is another corporation.
So in order for the United States to do business with you, they have to turn you into a corporation. And that's what the straw man is all about. But you're going to have to take control of that business. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to take control of your straw man. And once you do that, then you're able to begin to move out of the public into the private. You follow me? Okay, let's see here what we got here. Yeah, you're able to move out of the public into the private, and you got control as a living man. You got control of the all caps fiction, and once you do that, you can do some things. You follow me? Yeah, okay. But anyway, our packages are available over there at targetdebtelimination.org. That's targetdebtelimination.org. And we got you secure part and credit, but before you do any donations over there, contact me, and then we'll be ready to roll. It appears that my guest is in the queue, so I'm opening up the line. Airport 832, Sister Nicola M. Hurst, is this you?
It's me. Thank you for inviting me to the show, Taharka.
You're quite welcome, sister. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you're coming across loud and clear. And for our listening audience, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with what you're doing and a little background information there, if you would, and about your books. And I'm going to yield the floor.
Okay.
So you can do that.
Again, thank you for inviting me to the show. My name is Nicola M. Hurst. I am a seeker of light, a light worker, a healer, and a minister, author, and coach. So I have a multiplicity of things in my background that make up who I am and how I came to be who I am today. I'm a 12-year veteran of the United States Air Force. I was a minister of the gospel for almost 40 years before I started having a major awakening spiritually, went into more metaphysical spirituality, and began to continue to grow in my studies of ancient Kemet and all of my history as an African. And as a coach, the culmination of all of my various experiences throughout my entire life landed me into a space where I started, first of all, I started a YouTube channel called Courage to Change, where I took the recovery material that I was learning from and I began to share it with other people. And out of that particular endeavor was birthed Life Alchemy, Life Coaching. Life Alchemy, Life Coaching transmutes the mundane into the majestic, meaning that there is nothing in this life and no things that anything that anyone throws at you, you can take it, alchemize it, and stand on top of it and become better and greater and higher. So your pain can always be transmuted into power. My book, Recovering from 2020, actually started out of a journal. I was writing a journal for myself using the 12-step methods that I've learned and teach to others, and decided to, you know, think about the fact that so many people were suffering, and I was wondering if what I was getting to help myself navigate some of the things that I was seeing in 2020 was going to actually help other people also. So I took my journal, I turned it into a little ebook initially, and then I decided to publish it. So Recovering from 2020 starts out talking about the fact that before we even got to the pandemic, I saw a mass amount of men crying over the loss of Kobe Bryant. And it was the first time I had ever seen so many men grieving openly. And I took the time to try to address that, both on a Facebook Live and then in my writing. And for those who were dealing with grief and loss as a result of losing their jobs, being sat down for over a year, not knowing what to do next with their lives. Some people lost their homes, just being in a space where they felt a lack of control. This book was giving you the steps to, number one, vent that grief, let it have a voice, and allow yourself the process of going through navigating out of the grief into something that you can transmute into a better and higher space. I do have another book. I don't really go by it anymore or use it anymore because I transformed out of the Christian lifestyle, so to speak. But if anybody is still there, it's called Waiting on God for Your Divine Right Mate. Books can be purchased on Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, or you can actually go to my website and purchase them. So that's me in a nutshell, Taharka.
Okay, sister. That's quite a bit. I have quite a few questions here. Now, you mentioned alchemy. So is that a part of your life coaching? And exactly how does that work? Because I've heard so many different things, but I deal with astrology, the zodiac, and numerology. And I wanted to know if any of that is included in your practices.
I use everything that I could possibly learn, but using the word alchemy simply means change. And not only just change, but transformation of one thing into another thing. So I don't take the pain and try to discard it or throw it away. I take the pain and try to rise higher and rise above it by using it as a pillar of strength. On the flip side of everything that is a weakness, there's a strength, and vice versa. So alchemy, is for me personally, means transmutation, pain into power.
Okay. Now, you say you was a part of the United States Air Force. Now, let me ask you this. Do you recommend our brothers and sisters to still join the United States military today?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well,
I will tell
why not?
Find something else to do. Find something else to do.
Okay. Well, what kind of experience did you have that's not good? Because everything, just because it's new doesn't mean it's good. So what happened with you?
Well, I can't say that the military was all bad for me. And, it's unfortunate that recruiters always target those of us who are in the ghettos or in the concrete jungles, as they call it, people who are looking for a way out of a bad situation normally, and our young people who are struggling and trying to figure out a way out of the struggle generally find a couple of measures on their way out of that situation, and one of them being the military. And I used to tell kids back in the day, if you don't know what you want to do with your life, if you don't know if you want to go to college, join the military, because I feel like the discipline of it is great. The ability to travel and see new places and do new things, that's amazing. So it did offer me that, and I did take advantage of that, and I enjoyed that part of the military. But I also got to see a lot of other things along the way as opposed to, just having the good. There was the flip side of that you were not your own anymore. And for me, seeing the experimentation that was done on my body as a result of being, quote unquote, the property of the government, not necessarily a person anymore, but the property of the government, is where my experience started to turn dark as far as the things that I was experiencing in the military. And so some things I didn't even learn about until very, very recently, when a very recent article came out. But for the most part, I did suffer through trauma in the military. I did suffer through extreme racism in the military. I did go through military sexual trauma. I went through a lot of different things that I wouldn't advise any person to sign up for and have to deal with. So some people, this is just my experience, but some people go through it and not have a problem at all. They get out, they do 20, 30 years, they get out, they have all their benefits, they're still healthy and fine, and they didn't have anything that took them down to the point that I got taken down. But some people have a whole different experience, you know. I was fighting a case to Congress about military sexual trauma and abuse long before the Vanessa Guillen from the case that Vanessa Guillen is going through with their family right now. So I'm very familiar with seeing a lot of things happen on bases that, you know, wouldn't make the 5 o'clock news.
Wow. Okay. Now, before we get down into the nuts and bolts of wiggle pins of what happened, because I looked at your video talking about the what was going on, about the illness and stuff. But before we get down to that, could you tell us what is meant by 11-11 minded? What is that about?
Well, you're a numbers man, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you know these numbers mean something. But normally when people start going through an awakening, I hear multiple people talk about they start seeing these numbers prop up everywhere. Like, what does that mean? You know, it's as they begin to become conscious, begin to see things for what they really are, this awakening causes them to start seeing certain things a certain way, and one of the things is 11-11. It pops up everywhere. And it's initial numbers that people see when they're coming through that space, that portal of awakening. And so the 11-11 minded meeting is something that I hold every Sunday night, the end of the month, once a month at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, where like-minded people who are awakened or awakening can have real discussions without being censored by the, you know, YouTube channels and all the rest of that stuff. They can actually just openly ask questions, talk about experiences, talk about the things that are happening right now, and feel welcomed and feel accepted that they are among people who get it, who understand what's going on.
Okay. Now, your book, Recovering from 2020, they can, where do they get that from, that book? Do they get that from Amazon, or could they just go online and order it? What do you recommend that? How do you recommend they get that book?
There's several ways they can get this book, and I have several links. I don't know if they're up, but I have a link for you to go to Amazon and purchase the book. You can actually purchase it from Barnes & Noble's. You can purchase it from my website, nhalchemy.com, nhalchemy.com. And I also have a Gumroad link as well where you can purchase it if you want to get a signed copy from me. So there's various places where you can purchase the book.
Okay. You want to give us some of the little highlights up in there?
Sure, I would love to. So like I said, it's a very small book because I wrote it as a journal for two reasons. I wrote it the way I did. When people are in grief or when they're going through something, they don't want to be taxed with a whole lot of information and been bombarded with a major amount of information that they have to sort through. It's like, give me the bullet points and let me go on my way, right?
Right.
And so that's how I approach the book. Just give me the bullet points and let me go on my way. So I opened up talking about the various losses that we experienced before we even got to the pandemic. We experienced the loss of Kobe Bryant, and then right after that we saw Nipsey Hussle leave and Chadwick Boseman. And then everything shuts down in March with the coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so people were really going through it. And so I basically took each step as the 12-step method normally goes and just took it down to how to process through what you were feeling. So like step one, it would be admitted we were powerless over the effects of the world's events at this time. and that our lives have become difficult or unmanageable due to these events. And this is an opportunity to you to actually give space and words to what you're feeling. So even though it's written very simply, to work through it is not very simple at all, because it means that you have to touch the emotions and the feelings that's going on with you, give them voice and put them on paper at sometimes when you're journaling. And it gives you an opportunity to slow down a bit with all the things that might be swirling around in your head and just allow you the ability to process slowly. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And then eventually gives you steps how to turn that around and to pull yourself out. And then at the back of the book, I talk a little bit about how to break down grief, because sometimes grief comes out in crazy ways that people don't even understand that grief is coming out. You know, they see certain people acting a certain way and don't know why they're acting the way they're acting. And sometimes people don't even recognize that they're in grief. They might feel like they're just angry about something. Or they might feel this complicated grief because somebody might have passed away that you actually feel a little bit of relief about. That doesn't feel right for them, but it's actually very normal. So we have normal grief where you experience loss with sadness, and where you feel, you know, a little bit of guilt maybe if you didn't spend enough time with that person. But sometimes it's anger that might be associated with the loss, and people experience anger during that time. Sometimes they don't even understand how it's coming out in the body, so they might feel tired or fatigued and not realize why they're feeling that way. It's like, I just can't pull myself together, you know. They might feel numb, don't know why they're going through this numbness or this space where they just can't feel at all. And then because during this time frame, we had several major situations with police brutality, where the kneeling on the neck, the, you know, Breonna Taylor, all of this stuff that incited other emotions out of people, there's a level of complicated grief that goes with that. So it's one thing to have grief when your grandma that lived a really long life, close to 100 years old, she passes away. Yeah, and this pain, this sadness, this loneliness, this grief in that space. It's another thing when you see a life that was snuffed out at 24, 25, 6-year-old that shouldn't have been taken out. That's a whole other level of complicated grief. So we address that in the book as well and help people to find their way through it. So that's the book in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. Well, now you've been in the military. So what is the military hiding?
Oh my God. I you know, all I could do is speak from my own personal perspective, because God knows what they're hiding. But for me, my era was the Gulf War era, right?
Okay.
And so the information that I've been putting out recently is around this particular thing with the Gulf War era, because I just found out something on May 17th this year, and it just changed my whole world around in a way that I did not understand. So back in the early 90s, I don't even know where to start with this, but let me start with technology first, and I'll work my way into the other components of this. Back in the early 90s, I knew when they sent me on a certain assignment, I knew we had an agenda to get people's personal information, where basically there's 24/7 surveillance on the civilian population. I did not know at that time how they were going to pull this off, right? Because This is pre cell phones being in everybody's hand. This is pre internet being in everybody's hands. This is before social media was as prominent. This is before all of that.
Okay.
So I didn't know how they were going to do what they were going to do. I just knew that there was something in the works because they kept talking about we're going to go to a paperless society, And I was asking, why are we going to a paperless society? Like, what's the purpose of going to a paperless society? And when I started getting pieces of information on how things were rolling out to create this mass surveillance over people, it was overwhelming. I was afraid for a long time to even have the internet in my house, because I know that once you have the internet in your house, they have complete surveillance over your house.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what things could do from the other side, right? So I was afraid, mm-hmm. you know, even now I have issues with upgrading technology. So in keeping with your title, just because it's new don't mean it's always good.
Right.
Every single time we decide to upgrade our technology, we give a little bit more power to them, and we give a little bit more of ourselves away, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Every app you download, every single situation where you, you know, put more and more and more information in your phone, you give away more and more of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more and more surveillance over every single solitary thing that you do.
Okay.
I didn't know how this all played into this, this new world order. But there's several arms to this whole new world order that's happening. You got what was going on with the military. You got what's going on with the banks, the governments, these world powers that are controlling everything. You know, you got major circumstances going on every direction. There's so many different directions. How our food is being, you know, messed with, our air supply, everything that is targeting certain things. But in this technology thing, I was seeing certain things come to pass where there was a level of manipulation of the mind using media, using all types of things to groom you into giving over your life, yourself,
okay,
to the machine, to technology. Shows like The Real World came out back then. Y'all remember The Real World, where it was the first major, what do you call those shows, those reality shows started happening, right? You
right,
have to have
right.
people that showed you to live how to live your life out loud with people, other people, and have everybody watch you kind of live your life in a sense. They propped up certain families so that people could feel like, okay, if I just put my whole life out there like this family, I'll have the accoutrements of what they have. So you have
okay.
the Kardashians, right? And you have people that have all amassed all of this money, pretty much just, you know, walking around, they have no special talents, nothing, just putting a camera on their face every day.
Right.
That made people want to give more of themselves, thinking that if I do that, maybe I can have what they have. So social media opens up, and everybody is more than willing to give their personal information. It's amazing to me how willing people are to give up so much of their personal information to things like Facebook and Instagram and all of these different things that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this was basically grooming you to be under mass surveillance this entire time. The other thing that was happening, I'm sorry, you had a question?
No. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. So the other thing that was happening that I didn't really see fully until later on down the road is they were using our bodies as glorified experimental rats with some of the things they were trying on us through the vaccines. So I am a part of the 1990-91 Gulf War era, where those who went there, they said was exposed to certain things that happened over in that region, and they came back sick, right? But some of us that didn't go to the Persian, to the Gulf War region, were also getting sick, and we didn't know why. We were dealing with certain things that were slowly coming upon us. Some people died really quickly. Other people, certain symptoms didn't show up until 10 years later. And when they were coming up on us, these symptoms, we didn't even equate it with our service because it just seemed so irrelevant to the service. There could have been gastrointestinal issues, headaches. You might have been feeling fatigued, didn't know why you were feeling fatigued. You might have been having brain fog, didn't understand why. And then anytime you went to the VA or went to the doctor, they would tell you, well, the pain or whatever you were feeling was all in your head. Or, you know, just take this medication, that medication, whatever. And so most people didn't equate this with a certain thing that had anything to do with the military if they didn't go that, to that particular region. Now, I was deployed, but I was deployed stateside to work in headquarters. I did go to Bosnia, but I didn't go to the Gulf area. It wasn't until May 17th this year that the entire picture got put together for me of what I was seeing and what I had experienced in my life. I watched a lot of young people that I knew and loved. They were my mentors. I was in my 20s, but they were in their 40s at the time. A lot of them passed away really early. A lot of them died before the age of 56. I watched everybody from my era get sick with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Graves' disease, MS, cancer, just a host of things. And I'm talking about people who were otherwise very, very healthy. All of a sudden, having issues with their joints and their muscles and pains and aches in their bodies and not understanding what was going on. And we never were able to put two and two together. So they talked about Gulf War illness. It's not a specific diagnosis. It's just a multitude of various things, like all of those things I mentioned, that's under the umbrella of that era. So they call it Gulf War illness. And so I didn't think I fit in that because I didn't go to Iraq. I didn't go to Iran. I didn't go to Iraq. I didn't go to these places. I wasn't in that area, even though I served that era. I didn't go to that area. But I wake up on May 17th. I go to my email, and I find this article. Researchers think they found the cause of Gulf War illness. So I'm going to pull out a few things, if you don't mind, if you got time. And I want to read a little bit to people, too, because I want people to see what I saw.
Okay.
So after nearly 30 years of trying to prove a theory that an environmental toxin was responsible for sickening roughly 250,000 U.S. troops who served in the 1990-91 Persian Gulf War, Dr. Robert Haley says, new research confirms that sarin nerve gas caused Gulf War illness. Following the Gulf War, nearly one-third of all who deployed reported unexplained chronic symptoms such as rashes, fatigue, gastrointestinal and digestive issues, brain fog, neuropathy, and muscle and joint pain. Federal agencies spent years broadly dismissing the idea that troops may have been suffering from exposure to chemical agents, with many veterans experiencing symptoms sent to mental health providers. Now, I thought that I was the only one that was hearing the doctors tell me every time I went in about these aches and pains I was having, you know, that's all in your head. Maybe you need to see that psychiatrist upstairs, right? That's what it was telling me.
Okay.
But they had all of these doctors on code. And all of them was telling us that our pain was all in our head, that we had mental issues. Maybe you have PTSD and trauma that's coming out. And the whole time, they knew that we was exposed to this nerve gas. And I know y'all are asking, well, if you didn't go to the region, how were you exposed? Well, I found out that they put the sarin nerve gas, they diluted it, and put the sarin nerve gas in our anthrax vaccine.
Wow.
And so every person that is deployed, or every person that's in the military, you have to have a series of vaccines every so often to keep your shot records up, right? You don't
right.
get out of it. It's not something that you just took your vaccines and you thought everything was fine. So it's not like it's something that you thought was, you know, strange or difficult. They just did your stuff so that anybody had to deploy, you already ready to go. Had no idea, because the only common denominator of all of us that got sick was the vaccine. And so I'm bringing this up to the public because we were your experimental monkeys for a reason.
So
I highly,
this all,
go ahead.
This is all designed to, because if they're putting in the vaccine, it has to do with the reduction of Earth's population, and this was done by the United States military. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, continue.
So, you know, this article goes on and says still more than 100,000 Gulf War veterans who are not getting help for this illness, and our hope is that these findings will accelerate the search for better treatment. Here are some other things that we may have been exposed to in those vaccines. Something called cyclosarin, which is also a part of the sarin family. Organic phosphate, bromide. What else is in here? It's a bunch of stuff, right? And it has all of these various symptoms that we were all experiencing, but nobody linked it to what we were dealing with purposely. Now, this guy, Robert Haley, he was a whistleblower that came out in 2013. He tried to blow the whistle on this back then. He was silenced, and he had to quit, you know, the VA because he found out that they were skewing the research, hiding the research, and permanently losing the research so that people wouldn't find out that this is what they were studying on us. So the entire time we go in there for treatment to find out, you know, I'm having this issue or that issue, they already know that we're a freaking test subject. And all they're doing is seeing how the test subject is doing now and documenting stuff, all while telling us none of this even exists because your pain is all in your freaking head. You get what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Now, is this going on now, today, in 2022 as well?
This is going on not only today. It's been going on since the inception of the military. For as far back as we can see, they have been messing with us. And I'm going to go back on you in a minute because I'm about to pull something out of the Iceman Inheritance book. If y'all don't have that book, you need to get it.
I got it.
But I started going down I've been going down a rabbit hole once I figured this out because this has been 30 years in the making, people. So for 30 freaking years, we didn't know what was going on with us. We knew we were sick. We knew we were having problems. It's kind of like that whole Camp Lejeune commercial y'all keep seeing now all of a sudden. Y'all
right.
been seeing that Camp Lejeune commercial? If you've been exposed, you were exposed to toxic water. How long has that been? The last person was that should have been exposed was 1987. So all of this stuff from 30 years ago is coming out. Why is it coming out now?
Well,
anyway,
it occurred in 1953, and I was born July 8th, 1953. So that's been well over 69 years.
Exactly. They want to make sure you're dead first before the information comes out, because that's the least people they have to take care of.
Mm-hmm. And so this is, do you think that water, was that on purpose? Because I don't believe in coincidence. You think that was on purpose?
I can't, like I said, I can't speak for other people's era, but I don't put anything past it. Because I know from my era, when they deployed us, I found out that they also sent us, they tell you don't drink the water in the region, but they sent us with toxic bottled water. So they did that on my watch. So I don't know. You never know what's going on. I can only assume it's a possibility because they knew something was going on. Something wasn't right. They've been experimenting for a while on how to kill off a third of the population.
Okay.
Let me go in a little bit more about this serum, because I want people to understand what happened. This how it's very strategically targeted, because, you know, you're starting to finally hear about these DNA tests right now and how they're able to take some, you know, this DNA that you're trying to figure out where you come from. They get us coming and going, man. You know, steal us, take us, identity, and the whole nine. Now you want to figure out where you come from, so give us your DNA so we can target you again and figure out how to kill you more strategically. So this I kept seeing in this article about this PON1 gene in the body. So it says the researchers tested for variants of a gene that helps the body metabolize pesticides called PON1. And some people have this variant of the gene, and it's more effective in breaking down serin, while others have a variant that helps process chemicals like pesticides, but is less effective against serin. By the way, if you all don't know what serin, you can look it up. It was basically created to help as a pesticide against weevils in Germany, and then they took it to Hitler, who wanted to see how Hitler wanted to use it. It was talking about using it as a military agent back then, but Hitler was in the military, and he thought that he was affected by nerve gas himself, and he was like, I would never use that against humans. Imagine that. But yet Great Britain's like, okay, we'll use it. So they took this thing that was supposed to be a pesticide, and they decided they're going to kill off humans with it instead. So this PON1 gene, if it's strong in your body, you can break this stuff down, and you will be less likely to be affected. So, then, you know, you have people from my era, it's like, well, I was fine. I've never had any issues or whatever. That means that the gene is stronger in your body. But then you have the others that the gene is not so strong, and so you're more of a target. So if you didn't have a strong PON1 gene, your body couldn't, you know, process the serin out of the system. It broke the blood-brain barrier to the brain, and that's what caused neurological damage in the brain. So a lot of the issues that people are dealing with are neurological issues because of the inflammation of the brain. So we were fighting, you know, the pain in the body, not knowing that it was inflammation of the brain this entire time.
Okay.
So you don't know how to reverse something if you don't know the source of where it comes from or what's happening, right? So all of these 30 years, we didn't know what caused this. We're just now figuring out what caused the problem. So the reason why this research got funded is because, y'all remember back in the day, Ross Perot? When he ran for president.
Right.
Well, Ross Perot is a Navy veteran, and he funded the research to find out what was going on. Kudos to him for this. So grateful for his $1 billion funding to figure out this, you know, where it's coming from. But yeah, all of this basically is a test run on us as a control population to run the deal down on the mass population. Now, we've been dealing with information about, you know, things coming out using military installations and veterans for quite some time for them to control the population, but they always try it out on us first. So if you have the Iceman inheritance, this is on page 5 where it talks about the Legionnaire's disease. This was 1976. This to show you how long, I'm just talking about this because it's showing you how long they've been running stuff like this. It's just new to me because it's my era and I got caught up in it and I didn't know any better back then. I was a kid joining the military, you know.
Right.
But it says, more than one expert has voiced the opinion that the mysterious Legionnaire's disease which struck delegates to an American Legion convention in Philadelphia in 1976 was caused by escaped toxins associated with chemical biological warfare research. The swine flu, y'all remember the swine flu back a few years back?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well, we've been dealing with this for a while because the swine flu came back around, when was that, in 2007 maybe, where they said it was a big thing. But we've been dealing with the swine flu for a minute. But it says the swine flu of 1975-76 has also suspicious military overtones. The four original causalities of swine flu were soldiers stationed at Fort Dix, New Jersey. Biological warfare agents are stored at Fort Dix, and the swine influenza is a prime CBW, chemical biological warfare, if anybody's asking, research agent.
Mm-hmm.
As early as 1969, U.S.
Wow.
Congressman Richard D. McCarthy published evidence linking epidemic disease in men, domestic cattle, wildlife, and food crops to escaped CBW, chemical biological warfare, toxins. Most incidents up until 1969 had taken place in the vicinity of the Fort Detrick, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and Dugway grounds, Utah. CBW research installations. So this has been going on for a while. I just didn't know how far back this went. But then when I started going back and researching how they were doing this, back when we had World War One, I was told that they purposely made the troops sick during that war, and brought, that was the Spanish flu back then, so that they can go back and get the public sick and expose them once they went back home.
Hmm.
So they've been doing this since 1924, at least in this particular thing with chemical biological warfare. But this whole trying to control, corral, and keep the population a certain way, it goes all the way back centuries ago. And I feel like I'm talking a lot, so I'm giving you a chance to go ahead.
That's okay. I'm listening to every word.
So if you don't have this book called Murder by Injection, you need to get it. There's a guy that wrote this called, his name was Eustace Mullins. He died in 2010 he died. He was,
how you spell his
name? And so this book, E-U-S-T-A-C-E, Clarence Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, Eustace Clarence Mullins. He died in 2010. This book was written in 1988. And yet everything I have talked to you about so far is all in this book. Every single thing with the vaccines, he went to talk about how they were going to destroy us with fluoride. He talked about how they were going to destroy us with pesticides, how they were going to contaminate the food chain. He talked about the medical monopoly and how the Rockefellers got involved with taking over the medical society and how that came about. Everything that we are seeing was already written. This goes deep. And we're not talking about recent years. These things that we're talking about was happening way back in the 1400s with Great Britain, and we brought it here to America. And I hate saying we, but I'm a part of America, but you know what I'm saying. And so, you know, he talked about how the Rockefellers took over the medical society. It was all homeopathic treatment back then. They got these people who were actually doing real work healing people, and decided that they were going to create apothecaries and have a society over apothecaries. This is back in 1617, right? In fact, the first time that these acts were trying to, you know, corral this medical industry was back in 1511 with King Henry and the Eighth, King Henry the Eighth. So you have them creating something called the Royal College of Physicians, and they basically were trying to corral these people and begin to make this something that they can control. So by 1617, they created something called the Society of Apothecaries in England. And in 1832, the British Medical Association was chartered, and this became the impetus for the forming of a similar association, the American Medical Association. So this is how far back this goes, right? Now, okay. they took all of those homeopathic doctors, they want to call them quacks, and then they established allopathic medicine, which means that it more dealt with surgery and drugs, which is what we see today in our regular medical situation, right? Yet, Queen Elizabeth is still treated by her homeopathic physician at Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
But they don't want us to be treated that way.
Wow.
And so go ahead.
A while back they was killing the natural doctors, Dr. Sabi and a whole list of them that was coming up dead.
Laila Africa, yeah, everybody that was actually curing people, that actually had real answers to the problems that were arising, got killed off. Dr. Sabi was such a major player, they had to get rid of him to even begin to think about implementing what they pulled off in 2020.
Right.
They had to. You know, it was no way that he could still be alive, healing people the way he was healing people, and them trying to pull off what they were pulling off. And then the entire censoring of people, Eustace Mullins talks about that in the Murder by Injection. All of a sudden, you can't say this on YouTube, you can't say this on Twitter, you can't get both sides of the coin of information that you need to make a decision about what you're about to put in your body.
Right.
All of this was planned out long before it was pulled off.
Hmm.
Long before it was pulled off. And so why am I saying this now to the public? You know, I highly believe that there will be an incident where they try to, in a major way, like, gas civilians. Now, they've already used this on civilians, but people don't recognize they've been used. You know, I think a combination of the 5G towers that's causing an issue that people don't recognize is causing an issue, plus the sarin nerve gas that they're deploying slowly. I mean, every time you see chemtrails flying over your head, you need to wonder why are they spraying us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dick Gregory talked about that back in the day, you know. So we were your experimental lab rats. And, you know, a lot of what we're feeling and experiencing, a lot of the illness that we are dealing with, I was telling people before they ever put that shot in their arm, I said, listen, you don't want to do that because there's going to be repercussions to that down the road. Oh, no, you don't, you know, everybody's like, you got to do blah, blah, blah. So people don't listen, right? I say in five to 10 years, these are the things you're going to start seeing in society with their health. Well, it hasn't even taken 5 years before some of the fallout is happening. We're seeing the fallout now. We're seeing young people drop dead.
Right.
In their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You know, I'm more concerned about the younger generation than the older generation right now because they dropping faster than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing people that, you know, they got it and all of a sudden they start having chronic issues with their health. You saw people that had cancer that went into remission and was doing fine, took it, and all of a sudden the cancer came back. So the fallout is happening long before I thought, I mean, you know, much earlier than I thought it was going to take the fallout. It's like, in some ways, I don't have to even say anything anymore. It's just like, shut up and just watch the fallout. You know, it's very painful to watch, but, you know, I try to tell people there's a reason why certain things are happening now because things are amping up and it's going to get worse.
That's right.
And there's an issue. The issue with the American public where we've never really seen real true warfare on our grounds. We always send our troops somewhere over there, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Always something over there. But we don't know what it's like to actually experience having to deal with these attacks head on in this country. A lot of us are so spoiled, you know, with... There's a saying that the Marine Corps have, you know, when somebody said, oh, we're at war with such and such or whoever we're at war with, and they said, no, America is not at war with Iraq or whatever. The Marines are at war with them. America's at the mall. Because there's such a disconnect with
mm-hmm.
what we're doing around the world, and we're so spoiled, we don't know what it would be like to have to navigate through that type of warfare head on. But it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
You already see it happening. You already see the prices of everything amping up. You saw gas go out of control. You're watching, if you're paying attention to anything, you might have been seeing what's happening in Mississippi right now and all of those people that have been hit by storms. And they don't take anything lightly. Any quote-unquote natural disaster is something they use to their benefit to try to destroy us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that could possibly be turned around to work for those powers to dominate, control, take your rights away and corral you or destroy you will be utilized by these powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing on my channel, I've done a couple of prepping videos with one of the premier preppers that I know of, Mr. Aaron Olinger, where if you go to Courage to Change on YouTube, we talk about various ways to try to get yourself together because
mm-hmm.
it's coming. It's coming.
Well, I have a few of your plugs here. And before we continue, I'd like to take a break and run one of these plugs. And when we come back, then we can take up where we left off at. Is that okay with
you? Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Well, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your hat. We'll be right back, and we'll go directly into a plug with our special guest, Sister Nicola M. Hurst. Okay? Y'all, hold on.
Family, peace, love, and high vibrations. This is Nicola Hurst coming to you once again from Courage to Change and Life Alchemy Life Coaching. And it has been a while, I know. And let me silence my phone before I really get started into this thing, because we have a lot to talk about tonight. I wouldn't be coming online if I didn't have something to say. And I made some notes. You'll see me referencing some notes along the way, because I wanted to bring so many points up and I don't want to lose my points that I'm making. So it's not going to be polished and beautiful, but if you saw the title, then you understand where I'm coming from tonight. What does social media's celebrity news have to do with what I'm about to talk about? Distractions. So I'm going to flip my screen around and I'm going to go to my PowerPoint and we'll start from there. How about that? All right. All right. So we got Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, Monique and D.L. Hughley, Will and Jada, Jada Smith and Chris Rock, Kim and Kanye, Golf. What illness, what does that have to do with one another? It is distraction. Distraction. Each and every time I see us go down a major rabbit hole of all of these various celebrities that
they want us to keep our attention, pull our attention to. There's something major going on in the background. And I feel like every time you see that, you need to stop and figure out, okay, what's really, truly going on. So I'm going to start the slideshow just so I can start talking about my various points. Hold on a second. Let me get started here. And I will move myself out of the picture so that you guys can see where I'm coming from. So while we were caught up with what's going on with Kim and Kanye and the whole D.L. Hughley and Monique situation, when we took every opportunity to analyze and reanalyze and analyze over and over again the Oscar slap, major things was happening. And this is the way it rolls out. They don't tell you the major news on the 5 o'clock news where it's supposed to be serious news, right? And so social media was the one space where we were able to get real news kind of leaked out in a way where we can share it amongst ourselves. But now they have done such a great job of getting us off the mark and into foolishness where we go down a rabbit hole of nothingness, that when real things roll out, it often gets overlooked. So when we were all analyzing the Oscar slap, the big thing that was coming out during that time was Hunter Biden, his laptop being exposed for his involvement in certain things in Ukraine, the various facilities that the U.S. have over there, and how we were encroaching and encroaching and encroaching upon the steps of Putin. Now, if Russia and any other country or any other country had the types of biological, chemical, or otherwise types of warfare nukes or whatever surrounding our borders, we would be having a fit, right? That's pretty much what's happening with Putin. We surrounded him with a bunch of our stuff, and now he's pushing back. But while this was going on and all of this information was coming out, we were sidetracked by the slap. So recently, I saw it sidetracked again with the Monique and D.L. Hughley situation, and everybody was going down the rabbit hole of that. Also, the Will and Jada situation still continues. And most importantly, and the biggest news ever, because it was all over the 5 o'clock news, was the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp situation. Oh my God, it just infiltrated the entire airwaves all over the world for weeks at a time. And while that was happening, a big news story was dropping. And I'm about to get into it. So I woke up on May 17th, 2022, and I saw a news article in my inbox that says researchers think they've found the cause of Gulf War illness. Now, I know a lot of civilians feel like, well, I guess I can click off now because they don't have anything to do with me. I would just say hang in there for a second and we'll see if there's a connection for you as a civilian as I talk about what the military men and women went through in the Gulf War era. All right. So after 30 years, this is finally coming out. After nearly 30 years of trying to prove a theory that an environmental toxin was responsible for sickening roughly 250,000 U.S. troops who served in the 1990-91 Persian Gulf War, Dr. Robert Haley says a new research confirms that sarin nerve gas caused Gulf War illness. So it says more than 250,000 troops were affected following the Gulf War. Nearly one-third of all who deployed reported unexplained chronic symptoms such as rashes, fatigue, gastrointestinal and digestive issues, brain fog, neuropathy, and muscle and joint pain. Federal agencies spent years broadly dismissing the idea that troops may have been suffering from exposure to chemical agents with many veterans experiencing symptoms that they were sent to mental health providers. Now, why is this important? Because I am one of those people who served in the Gulf War era, and I'm going to talk to you about what is written, factual information now, research that is here, research that is out, research that is not speculation. This is not something that's woo-woo-woo and in my head. This is actual scientists who have gotten to the point now where they are releasing information that they have been holding on for 30 years. Now, I served in Bosnia, but I did not go to the Gulf War region, and I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute. But many people who have gone to their doctors, the VA, and the whole nine, saying that they were experiencing a lot of these various illnesses, they were dismissed and said, well, you need to go see a psychiatrist, you need to see a psychologist, but none of this stuff is real. I think your pain is all in your head. You might have some mental issues you need to work out. Oh, I heard it all too, and I didn't know that so many of the troops that the governmental agencies were basically on code. They were on code. And so all of them were sending all of these troops, and I thought I was an isolated case that kept getting these answers, but all of us seem to have been getting the same answers where you're experiencing something that's in your head, but what you're feeling physically is not there, right? So come to find out that sarin was something that caused Gulf War illness. What is sarin and how is this coming out now? So the history, there's a history article. It was written on April 12, 2017. It talks about the Nazis developed sarin nerve gas during World War II, but Hitler was afraid to use it. It says the Nazis were actually the ones to develop the deadly nerve agent accidentally. In late 1938, the German scientist Gerhard Schroeder was tasked with inventing a cheaper pesticide to kill the weevils that were damaging German fields and orchards. By mixing phosphorus with cyanide, he came up with a substance that was way too toxic to use for agricultural purposes. So there's a whole article here that talks about it. And I'll try to make sure I put some links at the bottom so you guys can follow the links and go down the rabbit hole that I went down. Because what I hate is when you put real information out there and people tell you, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't want you to believe it. I want you to research it, and I want you to see it for yourself, read it for yourself, and go down the rabbit hole that I went down. But anyway, it says that by the end of World War II, Nazi Germany had produced some 12,000 tons of the deadly chemical compound, enough to kill millions of people. From early in the conflict, high-level military officers pressed Hitler to use sarin against their adversaries. But despite much pressure, Hitler declined to employ it as a chemical weapon against Allied powers. So Hitler would not use it because he felt like it was inhumane, and he had also experienced as an army person himself that he was once poisoned by gas, and so he felt like it was an inhumane thing to do. But Britain was all on board. Winston Churchill, he was all on board with using it, and he said something like, where is it? I got a quote from Winston Churchill. It says, more importantly, perhaps Hitler must have known that if he used chemical weapons, his adversaries would retaliate in kind. But Minister Winston Churchill, for one, had long argued in favor of the use of such weapons to shorten military conflicts. This is a quote from Winston Churchill. I cannot understand this squeamishness about the use of gas, he wrote in a memo in 1919 when he was Britain's Secretary of War. It is not necessary to use only the most deadly gases. Gases can be used which cause great inconvenience and would spread a lively terror, and yet would leave no serious permanent effects on most of those affected. So that's what Churchill felt about using chemical warfare against troops in war. This was World War One. So World War Two, I'm sorry. What is Gulf War illness, and what are the troops that was exposed to this sarin nerve gas experiencing? This is just a short list right here. Rashes, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, gastrointestinal and digestive issues, brain fog, neuropathy, heart palpitations, headaches, tinnitus. Now, I was watching YouTube and I saw, I'm going to stop my share right here for a second, and I saw this video of this guy, hold on, I'm going to share it, this commercial, and I thought, wow, this is crazy that this is coming out in this way. So watch this commercial. Can you guys see this?
After years on the battlefield and multiple concussions, migraine attacks followed me home. I wasn't there for my family, and I was barely functioning until Nurtec ODT changed all that. Nurtec is the only medication that can treat and prevent my migraines.
Don't take if allergic to Nurtec. The most common side effects were nausea, stomach pain, and indigestion.
Now, I run a nonprofit for other Green Berets. When I feel like myself, I can do so much more.
What will you do? Ask your doctor about Nurtec today.
After years on the battle.
Why is that significant, you guys? Why do you feel like that's significant? Why am I showing you this video? Let me share my other, go back to my my PowerPoint. I'm sharing this because we recognize now, if you don't recognize, that we are in this drug culture that everything that we are being prescribed by our doctors is something to treat a symptom, not necessarily to cure a situation. And so is it possible, this is now my speculation, is it possible that a lot of these things that the researchers and the VA was holding back on was to continuously try to work with these pharmaceutical companies to develop various different drugs using our illnesses, knowing the whole time that they had done something to us physically, but making us, treating us with side, you know, from the sort of side effects of the situation while they continue to do their research on what the fallout of this will be, and making tons of money in the process by selling these drugs. That's just my speculation. I know it's diabolical, but I'm going to keep going. And the reason why I'm going to keep going is there's a whistleblower that came out in 2013. When I read the first article that says researchers think they found the cause of Gulf War illness, this man has been trying to talk to us about this since 2013. And he had to basically quit his job because he was trying to tell us what was happening at the VA. And this article says a former epidemiologist for the Department of Veterans Affairs told lawmakers on Wednesday that the agency's Office of Public Health buries or obscures research findings on veterans exposed to environmental toxins and hazards going as far back as the Persian Gulf War. His name is Stephen Coughlin. So Stephen Coughlin had worked more than 4 years for the VA before quitting over serious ethical concerns in December, said in a testimony that leadership in the agency's public health office did not want to reveal evidence that Gulf War illness and other sicknesses were linked to troops' military experience. And he said that the results of a congressionally mandated study on Gulf War veterans and their family members was also released, and claims that he was advised that these results have been permanently lost. So he says that anything that supports the position that Gulf War illness is a neurological condition is unlikely to ever be published. And he says, as with Vietnam veterans before them, large numbers of Gulf War veterans became ill in the years following the 1991 war. These Gulf War veterans were told their problems were psychological. The VA says in 2010, it recognizes 9 diseases linked to Gulf, in the experience of Gulf War. So they've had this research on us, and they've been researching on us. Every time we go to the VA, they're pulling our blood. They're taking, you don't know what they're doing with your blood and everything when they take your blood, but they're constantly doing research on us. And at the same time, they're telling us, oh, your symptoms aren't real. Your pain is all in your head. Maybe I should set you up to see the local therapist or the psychiatrist upstairs, and maybe he can give you some medication for the delusion that you're feeling on the inside of you. Maybe it's just PTSD. You know, PTSD is very strong. So they telling you got some psychological issues going on, and the whole time they know that they're actively doing research and hiding and skewing the research that's being done on these bodies. And lying. I want y'all to let that soak in for a second. This is how diabolical things are. Here's one of the things that came out in this research. So in the article, I'm reading the military news article. It's on military.com. Anybody can go on there, look it up, find the articles I'm talking about. So even as I'm reading these articles, right, I'm finding that even the articles, the way they're written, is skewed to negate any types of responsibility for them having anything to do with why troops are getting sick. So they would say something like, well, those troops that were sent to the region had to bomb Saddam Hussein's supply, and they had this major supply, and then the plume of smoke from these supplies that the Iraqis had was in the air. The troops breathed that in, and that is how they were exposed to sarin, right? But that's about to be bust in a second. Let's talk about the PON1 gene. So research is also tested for a variant of a gene that helps the body metabolize pesticides called PON1. And I have a whole packet on the PON1 gene. It's a lot of medical jargon that I don't necessarily know how to break down just yet. But if you want to go to the environmental health perspectives to pull this article, it was written on 6/12, no, it was written, where was this? On May 11th, 2022. All of this stuff I'm just finding out like weeks ago. And this PON1 gene, paranoxase 1, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but anyway, we'll just keep calling it PON1. This gene, they tested to see the stronger the gene was in the person's body that was exposed to it, that person was able to break that the PON1 gene was able to break down the sarin in the body and allow it to exit the body. But if the PON1 gene was weaker in somebody's body, then that particular person had the sarin break the brain barrier and move into the brain and cause inflammation of the brain, which is what was causing the neurological issues that many of the troops were experiencing. So I'm wondering what kind of genetic testing is being done and how strategically this thing has been targeting certain troops. That's just my speculation. But that's not necessarily what's written, but I'm giving you both, right? The other thing that many of us was exposed to was depleted uranium. So depleted uranium was used by the military during the Gulf War and Bosnia in projectiles and armor for tanks. The exposure of the fragments through ingestion or inhalation caused major toxic reactions in the body, and this is also still being tested. Now, a lot of this information I found about depleted uranium is actually on the website of the DOD, but they got it in small writing. And so while everybody is talking about these crazy talking points that they've given you to stay focused on with celebrity news, you have to read to actually find out the real news. So beware. I understand that sometimes your brain needs a break from all of this insanity that we're dealing with. I understand that sometimes you just need to be able to escape it for a second. But the real news, you're going to have to look at some point, because it's coming for you, whether you want it to or not. So depleted uranium is what a lot of us are holding in our body, and I'm sure that that's something that I've been dealing with for over 30 years now and didn't realize it. So why did the troops get sick who were not deployed to the Gulf region? Vaccination. Those who do not serve, this is coming from the article, I didn't say it, those who did not serve in the Gulf War and were exposed to the same things, such as petrochemical fumes, routine vaccinations, dealing with casualties, et cetera, show the same statistical association with poorer health. I hope y'all heard that. Potential causes of ill health confined to the Gulf, i.e. protection against chemical and biological weapons, show the same kind of association with ill health. Multiple vaccinations used in Bosnia and the Gulf were linked to reported health effects in the Gulf group. I want y'all to hear that for a reason. I need y'all to hear this for a reason. So they keep trying to write articles whenever they release certain things, and they try to associate it with the combat veteran, the person that was on the front lines, or the person that actually went to the certain region, or let's relegate that to over there, because then if you relegate that to over there, then we're less likely to see a connection of what you're doing over here, right? And we can always try to say, well, Saddam did it, or the Iraqis over there did it, or something happened over there. But the same illnesses that was happening with people who were deployed was happening right here on the home front in the great old U.S. of A. I personally, as a veteran in that era, was not deployed to the Gulf region. I was deployed, but I was deployed stateside to work at headquarters. So I never touched the region. I never had to go over there. I did go to Bosnia, but I didn't have to go to the Gulf with Saddam. But the same vaccines were given to all of us, and that was the common denominator for all of us getting sick that got sick. Sarin, this gas, this dangerous nerve gas, was diluted and put in our anthrax vaccine, along with many other dangerous toxic chemicals that were in the vaccines given to the troops in the Gulf War and Bosnian War. It was all happening around the 1990-91 time frame. And most of the women that I served with, I noticed they were not sick right away. We didn't get sick right away. And this is the diabolical thing that's happening with the way that they diluted this whole nerve gas situation. So this is how it was breaking down in many of us, the way I saw it from my own personal perspective, right? Some people got sick right away. And I'm saying this because I want to correct something that I said before in other videos that I may have done. But other people that were a little bit older than us were seeing, they seemed to be dying off quicker. And y'all may have heard me in other videos talk about the fact that many of my mentors, well, all of my mentors that were older than me died before the age of 56. And I equated it with some level of stress, which we were under extreme amounts of stress, especially as Black women, right? An extreme amount of stress, because we're dealing with the stress of the job itself. We're dealing with the stress of sometimes the region we might have been in if we were deployed. And then we're dealing with the stress of being attacked by our own people, our own men, MST situations, and we're also being attacked because of racism. So yes, we were dealing with extreme amounts of stress. However, I thought that was it, but it was not. They put this dangerous nerve gas in the vaccine along with other stuff that was just as dangerous, something like bromide and something else. And this was given to us. And so what the insidious thing about this is you start feeling a little something, but you didn't blame your vaccine or anything, because you were thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm not eating right, or maybe I need to do this, or maybe. So you were internalizing the issue. Maybe I need to calm my stress levels, because if you're feeling constipation, you try to take something for that. If you're feeling headaches like the commercial I just showed you, you try to take something for that. And so you were isolating your issues down, and you were not attributing it to the thing that was maybe the whole overall picture of Gulf War syndrome. They said you had about 7 years to report your issues to the VA to be considered for disability or whatever. But most people did not equate something like a little bit of heartburn or maybe a little constipation or maybe a headache here and there with an issue with anything that the VA, or I mean that the government may have given them in the form of their vaccines during that time. It wasn't until 10 years later most of us got hit, 10 years to the date, basically almost 10 years to the date of me exiting the military, my body broke down into a point where I couldn't move. And many of the friends that I knew of at that time, they all got sick about 10 years later. Stuff with fibromyalgia, Graves' disease, lupus, MS, all kinds of various things. All of a sudden, these quote-unquote autoimmune issues started to arise. So they knew that by the time the 10-year so point of time comes, you're not even thinking about this being equated to your military service at all. Some people did report during that time frame, within that time frame, and still they denied 83% of the claims. Over 130,000 people put a claim in, saying that they were feeling some of these symptoms, and they denied over 83% of these claims, the VA did, right? But it's insidious, because you don't even see that this situation is something you even need to blame the military service for, because it happens so far down the road. But the reason why I'm telling you this, civilians, keep up. The other thing they put in our vaccine was something called ciprofloxacin. It's another drug with all the various different dangerous side effects that troops were experiencing. Some of those were hunger, headaches, numbness, tingling, confusion, agitation, paranoia, problems with memory or concentration, thoughts of suicide, sudden pain or movement, problems in any of your joints. Whoo! Now, why is this important? Do you know that more than 21 veterans died every single day because of suicide? And nobody's really talking about that being equated to something that they've taken that was probably given to them by the VA. Do you see how insidious this is? that they would give you something to cause agitation, paranoia, memory problems, and then tell you you got mental problems that you got to go see the therapist for because you have PTSD and your pain is all in your head. Are you with me? Are you with me, family? Are you listening to me? I hope you're hearing me. This is the government that we put on a uniform to serve. And this is how we've been treated. Now, I realize that a lot of people out there is like, why didn't y'all just leave? Why don't y'all just run away? You know, when you're in the military, you are not your own. You are not your own. Because if you try to leave, the military cops will be behind you. You have to face the uniform code of military justice, the whole other system. So running away from the situation, and even if you, let's say you just escaped it and you somehow got some type of horrible separation, like a dishonorable discharge or something like that, it can cause you problems for the rest of your life because people don't hire you when you have like a dishonorable discharge. So, you know, it can cause a multitude of problems. It's not as easy to escape. But the thing is, the difference is with the new people that are leaving because they don't want to acquiesce to some of the things that they've been told to take, is we didn't know any better. We really did not know that this is the stuff that they pumped into our arm when they say roll up your sleeves. So why so many diagnosed with PTSD? So whatever veterans would complain of these types of symptoms, they were sent to the psychiatrist and told their pain was all in their heads. Civilians, why do you need to know this? Just consider 2020, and I'll leave it at that. Too many times, those of us who have served have tried to forewarn you of the people that you trust so much. And we have been disregarded, told that we were crazy, told that, of course, the same thing, you know, all of that's in your head. You are a conspiracy theorist, et cetera, et cetera. Everything that I just gave you in this little small PowerPoint, and there's so much more that I can go into. It's all written and it's finally coming out. Now, personally, I feel like whenever information like this gets released, that means that something much, much bigger is coming down the pike. There are major plans in store for the public at large. All that you see your military family members going through, look at us as your test monkeys for the society at large, because it's coming for you, okay? I wanted to put this out because I wanted you to understand the research that is out here already and how you've been sidetracked from seeing it or hearing about it or knowing anything about it. And anytime you see a major celebrity going through all kinds of craziness to go and put themselves on display, I want you to look at the other side of things and see what do I need to read, research, or know on the other side, because it's all a distraction every single time, every single time. So family, I hope that opens your eyes for those of you who served like I did and you feel like I felt when I first saw that article. And you need to talk it out with somebody. You just want to chat it up with somebody that understands the frustration that you might have been through, going through years and years and years of trying to get your disability claim, going through years and years and years being told that what you were dealing with was not real, going through years of family members misunderstanding you and not understanding what you were going through years of suffering with pain in your body, being active and free and strong and able body 1 second and being cut down to nothing the next. If you're dealing with that frustration, you can always reach out to me at www.nhalchemy.com. I'm here if you need to talk it out. I totally understand. I'm in there with you. For those of you who don't know, I'm a 12-year veteran of the United States Air Force, and I served my time, and I understand completely what those who have been struggling with this illness for all these years are feeling, because I'm feeling it too. So, family, until we meet again, I'm wishing you peace, love, and high vibrations. Blessings.
Everybody, we're back. Our special guest is Sister Nicola M. Hurst. And the title of the broadcast is Just Because It's New Doesn't Mean It's Good All the Time. And I'm going to open up the phone line to see if the sister's still with us so we can continue the broadcast. Sister Nicola, you still with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. I decided I wanted to run that plug. Yeah, I got a few of them, but I don't think I'll be able to get them all in. I didn't know I could download that amount of time, but it looked like Block Talk has improved. But you want to take up where you left off, and we're listening.
Well, I think all of that wanted to say about sarin and the nerve gas issue, I said, as far as the articles, there are articles that you can actually go online and research it for yourself, because, you know, one of the I said it before, and I said it in the clip you just played. I get tired of people saying, I don't believe. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. And I don't want you to believe. I want you to read. I want you to know. I think you said it earlier. We're no longer in the age of believing. We've left the age of Pisces. We're now in the age of Aquarius. We are in the age of knowing. You can know this material. You can know what's going on around you. You do not have to sit in ignorance unless you choose to. And no one can make you see what you do not want to see. The information is there. Military.com is where those articles came from. Eustace Mullins' Murder by Injection, The Story of Medical Conspiracy Against America, is a book that I think you need to pick up. The Iceman Inheritance. This is written by Michael Bradley, Prehistoric Sources of Western Man's Racism, Sexism, and Aggression. And you can also pick up my book, Recovering from 2020, Using the 12-Step Model to Process the Year of 2020. All of these books, I'm basically letting you know how the entire system has worked up to this point, of getting us to a place where we are being set up to be annihilated. Those who are the most ignorant will probably be annihilated first. Those of us who are not, it might take us a longer time to get knocked off. But they are trying to recreate a slave society. They recognize that was probably one of the most profitable ways to exist for them at that particular time, using African-American bodies as slave chattel at that particular time. But right now, it doesn't matter what race, creed, religion, it don't matter what you are. It's about a total population domination right now. So you need to get mass surveillance on every single person, and download all of your information. You know, I didn't even see this until I left Texas and went to Virginia to visit my family members and saw these huge buildings that's basically, I guess, the cloud. They're holding all of our data. This huge, no windows, nothing. It's really creepy to look at, but these huge buildings, like from Google and all the rest of these places, it's just basically holding a massive amount of information on us, you know. Mm-hmm. So they need to know your whereabouts, and they need to know what you're doing at all times. They need to be able to drop the population down to a point where they knock off the dinosaurs or the people that have some reason in their mind, manipulate the minds of the young people, you know, bring us into a genderless society and all the rest of this foolishness that they're trying to pull off, so that they're malleable and more manipulated, and that they're easier, the population and everything is much easier to control. I don't feel like we are defeated, because we can push back as people, because we outnumber this class of people that's trying to pull this off. And not everything has gone strategically the way they desire for it to go anyway. But it's up to us to tap back into our inner knowing. So there's a video I put out about dreams, because I feel like the ancestors speaking loud and clear to give us forewarning about certain things. People who normally don't even have spiritual dreams are talking. There's a few things that are online. I've had spiritual dreams about things to come. My family members, other people have had dreams, and I'm seeing there's an alignment of information that's coming across, so that we can know how to navigate the various things that are coming at us. We're not defeated. We still have what it takes to navigate this. And if we tap in deep enough, we have what it takes to win this. But it's going to take us pushing back, holding our ground, standing in our truth, and not allowing certain things to continually push us off our mark. The reason why I named a particular video just because it's new doesn't mean it's good is because of a dream my niece had. She was telling me that she had this dream that all of a sudden these keyless, the key fob cars, the new cars that have the key fobs.
Mm-hmm.
They started running all over the street like crazy by themselves, running all over everything. And she said, and then she said, I saw people scraping up Canadian money off the ground because the Canadian dollar was far more than the American dollar. And they were trying to find any means to try to get a piece of Canadian coin, a dollar or whatever. And I was like, we're not that far off from that. So recently I just went to New York and we had to rent a car, right? And
okay.
Had an issue with the key fob. The key fob did not work. Like we got the car, it ran the first day, and the second day we were locked out of the car. And I said, you know, that was very, very, you know, reminiscent of something I just heard, like just talked about, my niece talking about the dream. But if anything that has that kind of control, like everybody wants to have the newest gadget. I just never thought, we used to joke about, people paying for a ringtone at one point. And now people really pay for a ringtone on their phone, and people actually pay hundreds of dollars to hold a phone, which is, I never thought I'd see a day where we would come to the point where our technology would upgrade so fast, and that we would see that having the newest thing is always the latest and best thing to have. But that's the way they programmed your mind. Easier, they said, this is how we're going to get them. It's going to be easier, simple, and something else. More convenient. That's the thing. More convenient. And so this key fob cars, these cars that drive into the driving space that you see now, this what do you call it, OnStar thing that's on your car. You know, everybody got the new gadgets on the new car or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's the coolest thing ever. But what if you lose control of that? Anything could be hacked. Any technology can be hacked. Any
right.
technology can be taken over by you, right? So anything that you feel like is the newest gadget to have is not necessarily the best thing for you in the long run. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's better. You know,
right.
So somebody can hack your car, take over your car, drive your car into a tree. You know, some speculate that that's what happened to actor Anne Heck that just passed away. I don't know anything about that, but that's the speculation that's out there that seems like the car was driving itself.
Hmm.
But it's possible to do that these days because people that have that technology over your vehicle can hack it and do what they want to do with it. And people laugh at me because I want to keep my old car with my key.
I hear you. Shoot, me too.
Right? I like my old car with my key. I just put a lot of money. I just dropped a grip to keep it running because I like that old car. So I'm like, well, I got a newer one, but I don't have all those bells and whistles for a reason. Not because I can't get it. It's because I don't want it, you know? The key fob is something that if we just saw firsthand, it could lock you out of your car. I can't get in my car because of a key fob. And so
they got the car where you get in the car and you mash the button and the car crank up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the
right.
Same
that's
thing
what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. That you just have the key fob. It doesn't really do anything except unlock or lock the door. You get in, you press the button, and then you go. In fact, the ones that crank up before you even get in the car, right?
Oh yeah.
It looks great. It seems like the cool thing to have. Oh wow, look at what my car can do. But the whole time you're giving up parts of you in a way that you don't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
You think the greatest, latest new app on your phone is the most amazing thing to have.
Okay.
Joe Rogan, I think it was Joe Rogan that I think read the terms of agreement for TikTok.
Okay.
They have the right to check your keystrokes on any system that you're on. This is what you're agreeing to when you say, you know, I'm going to download TikTok on my phone. They can, they have the, I mean, mass surveillance. I'm like, when he went down the list of things that they basically tell you that they're going to control when you using this and doing your latest little dance and stuff. It's ridiculous. Every time you put something extra on that phone, you give up a part of your life. The people are not paying attention to it. Recently, I had to go in because I have a Mac computer that the battery went down and I couldn't use my computer the way I wanted to. I bought this computer back in 2013 or 14, I can't remember. So I take it to the Apple store and I got another one just in case because I didn't know if this one could be revived, but took this to the store. And they said, oh, it's vintage. Like, it's vintage? It still runs. Like, do you want to upgrade? I was like, no, I don't want to upgrade it. I just want a new battery for this old computer, right? Because it still runs. If the battery's operating. This old computer has all of the USB drives that I can use on it. I don't need a whole lot of extra accoutrements on it.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, it looks like the upgrade, right?
Right.
But in order for me to use a USB, I got to go and buy an extra component. I got to buy a hub just to plug in a USB drive.
Wow.
Why do I need to buy extra stuff to make this work when this old one has all of this stuff attached on it? Just because it's new, that don't mean it's good. I'm just saying.
That's right. Boy, this is interesting. You mentioned about the chemtrails, and I got a chance. I done some research on the chemtrails about, and they got aluminum and stuff in there, and they're spraying this because it was a time, and I remember because I was always look up at the sky and watch the jets go across the sky and the smoke come out the back and then the smoke disappears. But this stuff here, when they come across the sky with this stuff lingers in the sky, and then it gets wider and wider and wider, and it just sits there. And I said, boy, it make me feel like they just spraying roaches the way this
pretty much
is going. And I know they got aluminum in it. And what other kind of chemicals do they have in that?
I really don't know. I remember hearing that Dick Gregory talk about it back in the day, but I've forgotten. It was something he said, and I totally forgot what it was that he brought up. But he said, when he talked about it, he said, one moment everybody was getting along in the neighborhood peacefully, and they spray that stuff over the neighborhood, and the next minute everybody was fighting. They've been trying for a long time to dumb us down, to dampen our pineal gland, and to slowly poison us off by any means necessary. There is nothing that exists that they're not trying to use. Your food, your water. I mean, they even put a tracker in women's bras. We recently found out about that. Like your clothes, everything. Like they've been working on us for quite some time, perfecting, and targeting their chemical, biological warfare agents and ways to exterminate us, corral us, and control us.
Okay, now you did a plug on the fallout of nerve gas, and you're saying that they are taking this nerve gas and they're putting it in the vaccine.
Now, they put it in our vaccines.
Okay, and do you think that they are putting this stuff in the vaccines for the corona thing? Because they come out with a new virus every month, it seems like to me. First the coronavirus, and then they start talking about a variant, like a spinoff for that, and the variant 1, variant 2, and now we got the monkey pox, and so I don't know. Next month, I don't know. I guess they had a giraffe virus or something. But it seems to me that people should wake up, because I remember I took I got this video of 25 questions to ask your friends and family about the coronavirus. And I got a hold to some friends of mine, because I deal with people all over the United States and other countries. And I called New York, I called Chicago, called Virginia, called Texas, called Mississippi, Alabama, Miami. And I had them to contact right smack dab in the middle of this stuff, because they on the TV and they're telling us that, well, we got so many of these thousands of people died over here, and all these thousands over there, and the death count is all that. I said, well, wait a minute, because I'm riding and I'm looking over the cemetery, I don't see anybody over there. Everything seems normal. So I said, well, what I want y'all to do, I want you to call the funeral home. And ask them, since the virus has struck, has your business increased? In every single case, no matter who we, what funeral home we call and what state we call it in, they say, well, no, nothing extra, just things is normal. But you got the media steady broadcasting us that all these people died. Now, if there was a pandemic, and I know what a pandemic is, because the Black Death of Europe, the plague, that was a pandemic. But and if you got a pandemic, then you hear sirens and ambulances going all day and all night. It'll be nonstop. None of that's happening. Then you ride by the cemetery
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, ain't no funerals. Saturday come, you got a regular amount of funerals. But in every case, when we talk to these people at these morticians at the funeral home, they say ain't nothing happening. See, it was a lot. So I put the video up on YouTube, 25 questions to ask your friends and family members. And YouTube told me, say, well, if you put something like that up there again, your account will be closed because you are endangering the lives of people. I said, no. What I'm trying to do is endanger stupidity because y'all a pack of lying jokers and you don't want the truth to get out. So I found other ways to put this information out, and I hope a lot of people paid attention to that. But, you know, a lot of us are news-driven. And if white folks get on the news and say it, then it's got to be true. Nobody want to do an investigation. They don't want to read, write, arithmetic. They don't want to do nothing. They just want to go on what they say. But as far as I'm concerned, it never was a pandemic. And come to find out, Fauci, his wife is over the head of, what is it, the drug situation. They are cahoots, so they got to have a pandemic so she can get paid. And now he done caused so much collusion and confusion, and now he's talking about retiring. Well, yeah, you done poisoned everybody with the vaccine.
Right.
And then when you go to the hospital, when you get sick after getting the vaccine, you go to the hospital, and that's when they kill you in the hospital. And I had this one lady. I mean, this thing was so messed up. It was this one lady. She went to the clinic to get checked to make sure she didn't have the coronavirus. But it was so many people packed in there after she signed in. It was so many people packed in there, she didn't have time, she had things to do. So she left. You follow me? And then she gets an email from the hospital telling her that she tested positive for the coronavirus.
Well, I wanted to comment on that. I'm glad you brought that up because it reminded me of something that I forgot to say, and it was something I forgot to introduce myself as. So on the one hand, like you said, you have, because it's various arms to what's happening. You got the military is one arm. The media is another arm. The news, you know, the news station is designed to scare you, keep you scared, keep you, you know, in all kind of fear. And then you have the banking system. All of these various systems are working to construct everything that's being constructed. So when they shut us down, no, you didn't hear sirens going on, but you did hear, if you were in certain areas, them working on them doggone 5G towers in the middle of the night. Because they shut us down, and all of a sudden you came outside and all these towers were up, right?
Right.
The hospital was getting paid to call any and everything a COVID death.
That's right.
They're getting paid to put these people on ventilators and kill them off.
That's right.
They're getting paid to make these, you know, conflate these numbers and make it sound like it's something so that the government can use certain numbers. Now, the flip side of this, and this is the part that I forgot to introduce myself as, but I wanted to make sure I brought this up to people. The flip side of this coin with all of this, call this COVID death. You could be killed on a motorcycle accident. They call it a COVID death. It don't matter.
That's right.
Because they're getting
right.
paid to conflate those numbers. On the flip side of this, insurance companies have been quietly changing their rules as well.
That's
and they're
right.
not paying COVID deaths, right? And a lot of people don't know this until their loved ones pass away and they're trying to get the death benefit paid out. And they don't have any money because insurance companies have told people, if you've taken that vaccine, you knew what that you were taking an experimental drug, and one of the side effects of that is death, and you chose to do it. Therefore, we are not liable to pay. How about that?
That's exactly right. You are absolutely correct.
So they don't know. A lot of people don't know. And I tell people, check your policy and call these people and find out now what's going on, because I am a licensed insurance agent. I'm licensed in Texas, New York, and Louisiana. If you need me to write your business, and if not, I have people that can help you get your stuff straightened out, because the company I'm with is the only company that I really know of that's actually paying COVID debts. So you can know that you'll be, you know, taken care of in that way. But a lot of people are not sure of what, where to turn or what to do, because everything that you're supposed to trust right now is working against you, which is why I keep stressing going within. You cannot trust the news. You have to watch the news very strategically. You cannot trust your doctors. Your doctors are being governed by a power higher than them. I remember when I went to the doctor during the pandemic for something completely different from COVID or whatever, but I was just, I think it might have been just a regular checkup. I can't even remember what it was, but I went there and I asked the question about COVID while I was there to the doctor, and I could tell the look on her face is like, there's the stuff I want to say and the stuff that I can't say, because I was asking her about the vaccine and it, and how did she feel about it? Did she feel it was safe? And she mm-hmm. couldn't say what she wanted to say. Why is it that you go into a doctor's office to talk about your health and your doctor doesn't feel free or at liberty to speak the truth about how she sees a certain thing scientifically? That's problematic. That's problematic. So you can't put all your trust in the hands of the doctors. You cannot put all your trust in the hands of the hospital right now. You're going to have to increasingly take matters into your own hands. There are a few people out there that's doing holistic, you know, treatments and things like that. During the whole thing, I actually got COVID, and I cured myself with making my own hydroxychloroquine. All you need is grapefruit pills, lemon pills, and orange pills. Boil it down for 3 hours. You can knock that out. Elderberry syrup, knock it out. But a lot of people don't know that. Simple, simple. Get some vitamin C pumped in your system. They tried to cut down. The FBI literally went through all of these, where you go to get your vitamin C drips and stuff like that, IV drips. All these places that did the IV drips, they shut them down during that time. Because you take a large enough dose of vitamin C, then you'll knock that stuff out. It's not that, it wasn't as critical as people try to make it seem for most people. But the easy, healthy, holistic way of working through it is the stuff that they tried to shut down.
Well, I tell you what, I do my moringa powder, I do my harataki fruit, and I'm drink good pure water, get plenty of sunshine, and that's how I deal with that stuff. My brother, he went and got it, and he was in the military, and he just, well, you know, I got it, and you need to get your vaccine. I said, boy, if you don't get it, I said, you ain't got to send you was born with. I said, you weren't born with a vaccine, and it ain't no doggone virus. And he's a deacon in the church, and I asked him, I said, well, when last time you seen Jesus? I said, what side of town he live on? Put him in the GPS and see what happens. I don't want to talk to you. That's right. Don't come here with that. Ooh, boy. And got my mama, he's going right along. Well, I got my vaccine. I ain't going to get no booster. Cause as soon as I get the first shot, I feel sick. I say, cause you put crap in your body. Right. You got a caller with his hand raised. I'm open up the phone line to see who it is here.
Okay.
Area code 972. You on the air? Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, good afternoon, you guys. My name is Sharon, calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Just
hey,
calling
Sharon,
in
come
and
on
let
in.
You guys. Yeah. Hey, this has been such a fun episode. Well, not fun, but informative episode. And I got to say, you're right on point, sister, with all of this information. I've the military, especially that clip that you played, and you being ex-military, really hit home because I have my son actually went to high school with one of his guys. One of his friends went into the military, went into the Army, enrolled into that. But he just served his time, whatever the amount of years, 1-2 years, or however he had to serve, and he got out.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got out, he told us stories about, he said the main reason why he wanted to get out because he got tired of them lining them up almost sometimes 2-3 times a month for vaccines and not telling them no, giving them no choice to take them because they're in the military. They never told them nothing about what the vaccines were for, just say these required vaccinations that everybody got to take, roll up your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have
right.
no option to refuse or not do it at all.
Right.
And ever since he got out of the military and he'd been back home, before he went in, he was the nicest, quietest little boy. And ever since he even got back, I'm telling you, he's just filled with rage. He want to fight. He always fighting all the time and drinking all the time. Just, you know, just filled with anger. Totally different from the guy that went in there. And then when you mentioned about the vaccines, and then I have another cousin that went through the military. She retired from the military. And somehow she developed lupus. And it's not nothing that ever been in our family at all.
Right.
And as far as we know, she's the only one who ever contracted it. And I'm wondering if that was something based on some vaccinations or something they gave her in their military. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, you're
right on target.
Ms. Hunter, you've been in the military. What was it like when you was in there?
Well, I didn't make it all the way in there. I kind of woke up before I got all the way in. I just went to basic camp in Fort Knox, Connecticut. And after they let me up out of this 8 weeks right there, I decided to not to sign in. I'm not signing up for more of this bullshit.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Okay, now, who else you know of? That's been in the military that might be exhibiting some crazy.
Everybody that I know, everybody in my family, all their friends, everybody. I got a sister and her husband. They both were in the military. One was enlisted and then the other one was an officer. So they were breaking rules while they was in the military because there wasn't supposed to be no fraternization, but we'll let all that ride. But they've been out of it for a while now. But both of them, I swear, is crazy. Sometimes I can't even have a normal conversation with them. It leads to other things. I say, oh, my God. What in the world are they getting y'all looking at?
Do you ever ask them what was their experience like and what did they feel about what they went through there?
They real military people. They just going to give me the standard answers. They don't never give me no details on nothing like everything so top secret. So I say, really, they really done brainwashed y'all. Y'all are all full way in now, so I have to go elsewhere for my answers because they not going to give me the full story.
Yeah.
Totally brainwashed. But the other thing you were talking about the distractions and social media. When social media first came out, it was a good way to – the only reason why I'm on there anyway is if I'm trying to promote a business opportunity or it's just a way for me and my family, friends, just to keep in touch because some people, you know, your friends and your family, you don't talk to for years or don't see for years, especially if you live in different states and that way. So that's the only reason why I initially joined. But in the beginning, it seemed like they were giving you opportunities to learn real news stories, you know, stuff that's not on the regular news, stuff they try to hide. But it seems like lately they're blocking us from getting any of that stuff, and the only thing they're going to post on your page is what they want you to see. You don't even see posts that from people that's in your friend. You only see posts whatever they want you to see.
That was by design.
It's not even a good foundation no more for any type of good regular news. It'll turn into the same bull that you see on TV.
Exactly. That's the design. That was exactly by design.
Exactly.
They got you in, and then they flip the script on you.
That's exactly what they do. And as far as other distractions with this doggone television, if more people would just realize, they don't realize how they're programming you with these different things, because they just, even suddenly, you don't even see some of the things that they might have hidden up in there. I was watching a cartoon with my grandbaby, a little cartoon on the TV, and I was watching, and then all of a sudden, I looked, and it looked like it appeared that one of the little animals, wee-wee, had then popped out. But it was so quick that they flashed it and took it away that you might have thought you was mistaking it for something else. But I saw it, because I look for those kind of things. And I know that's what they do, programming. Even as children, they program them. So you just got to be very careful about what you let your kids and grandkids and stuff look at. And give them something entertaining, but you can find entertainment and real educational stuff at the same time. Tahawk showed me a bunch of stuff that works. So you don't have to feed them that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all through. Disney's basically been usurped by the powers that be to feed certain things into the minds of our young people through the cartoons and Disney. I mean, they were doing a little commercial for Pinocchio, and my husband actually stopped it and slow framed it to show this trans agenda in the little clip. It happened so fast, but the fairy was a trans man, as a guy with the fairy dress on and the wings and everything. I was like, wow, they are after our babies. They are after our babies. So we have to be very mindful about what we are allowing our children to see, because that's who they're after right now. We bowed out of here. So they don't really care about us. They just want to wipe us out. But it's these kids that they're after. That's who they want to get. So we got to be careful. If you have children, you definitely want to be careful and mindful of what they're watching and how they're being programmed.
You're definitely right on that. But I just want to tell you how much I'm enjoying the show. And right on
Thank
point
you.
About everything that you're saying. I've been known it. I don't trust the government. I ain't had no vaccinations. They're not finna vaccinate me for nothing. And they can try if they want to, but it's going to be a battle. Now, and all my sisters, I got four sisters and no brothers, just like five girls. Now, all them jokers that had the vaccines, I say, okay, y'all got it now. They want to really cool me because I'm the only one who ain't got it. I say, I'm going to be the only one around when y'all doggone turn into the Walking Dead, and don't think I won't take y'all.
Oh, my goodness, but you are right about it.
Ooh, okay. All right, Susanna, we're going to continue on. Sister Nicola, I'm going to go ahead, and I got another plug. The title of it is Just Because It's New, 19 Minutes and Stuff, and I want to know if I want to run that little plug. And when we come back, then we can finish on up the broadcast, okay?
All righty.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to our special guest, Nicola M. Hurst, author of the 2020, the book Getting Ready for 2020. Wait a minute. Nevertheless, we'll get straight when I come back. Y'all hold on a minute, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Special guest is Nicole M. Hurst. The title of her book is Recovering from 2020. Nicole M. Hurst is the author. Y'all, who you have?
Family, peace, love, and high vibrations. This is Nicole Hurst coming to you once again from Courage to Change and Life Alchemy Life Coaching. And I just came with a really short message to tell you that everything new is not always better. Everything new is not always better. And quick and easy is not always best. Have a moment with me while I share something with you, and I will be right back.
Worrying about a legal problem like a consumer issue, medical bill, real estate transaction, landlord-renter dispute, traffic ticket, or estate planning? Legal issues are a part of life, but that doesn't make handling them any less confusing, frustrating, devastating, or even crushing. And lawyers are expensive. There's a better way. Legal Shield gives you advice and counsel from reputable lawyers near you. Our caring and dedicated law firms can help you with a wide range of legal matters, all for less than a dollar a day. Protecting and empowering you with a law firm in the palm of your hand, the Legal Shield mobile app can help you begin preparing your will. Take pictures of a traffic ticket and securely submit it directly to your law firm. Access free legal forms, or speak to a lawyer with just the press of a button. You can also upload a contract or document for legal review, contact your law firm to have a phone call or a letter made on your behalf, or call 24/7 365 in an emergency. Need fast answers to common legal questions? Chat with our legal bot Aaron anytime. Legal Shield protects over 1.8 million households in all 50 states, plus Canada and the United Kingdom, liberating our clients from legal frustration. Knowing you have a law firm in your corner protecting you can be empowering. Worry less and live more. Sign up for Legal Shield.
Hello, family. I'm back, and I am sharing some information on Legal Shield just because I think that being prepared is better than being unprepared. And I also feel like the last time we got hit in 2020, most people were caught off guard. There were a lot of situations that happened where people didn't see it coming. Most people didn't see it coming. A lot of people realized that they were in a bind, not only financially because they were sat down from their jobs and couldn't go to work, but also had loved ones that passed away that they couldn't sufficiently bury because they didn't have the finances or the right insurance. All of those things that I am showing you now are things for you to get yourself prepared for the next wave that is coming. And I want you to make sure that you have everything that you need in place. And so that is why I'm doing my part to present tools that I know that work. For those of you who are looking for extra income, this is a way to make extra income. For those of you who need to get your last will and testament together or your estate planning together, this is a great way to do that. A lot of people who have a little rental property have had problems with their tenants during this time frame of 2020 because they couldn't collect rent. Well, you have legal forms and legal help when you have to deal with certain things regarding things like you know, your rental property or et cetera. Just a host of things that you can get yourself prepared for and be able to utilize these tools so that when the next wave hits, you are ready. If you need any help with any of these things, please give me a call. Contact me at www.nhalchemy.com. All of my links are below for Legal Shield and beyond. So all the things that you see that are brand new, getting back to my message, is not always better. A lot of the things that I learned back in the military in the early 90s, I am seeing play out today. A lot of the things that I didn't think that the human psyche would get caught up in, I am watching us go down a roller coaster hill that is so fast and so steep, it's not even funny. What do you mean, Nicola? Well, I'm glad you asked. I never thought in a million years that people would think that their electronics would be something that they have to keep upgrading. Now, understand sometimes we're pushed out of the market by the actual companies themselves. And so you might want to hang on to a certain phone for an unlimited amount of time. I remember back when I had the flip phone back in the day, and I just wanted to be able to call people when I need to call people. And occasionally I did the long type of texting back when you had to go A, B, C, D on each key. And I was forced out of that because everybody wanted to upgrade to mass texting. And so the only thing that could accommodate that back then was like a BlackBerry. So I was forced into a BlackBerry against my will because I just wanted to hang on to my phone. And then was forced out of the BlackBerry into a smartphone because we kept upgrading. Every upgrade means that you lose a certain sense of something that you held as in regards to your privacy or your own personal well-being. Like when you had a phone be just a phone, you didn't have all of your personal information in the phone. And we're in such a weird time right now where a phone is not just a phone. And if you left the house without a phone, you almost panic because there are no more phone booths. So like if you went somewhere and you're like, oh, I forgot my phone, you can't go to a phone booth. And because the phones are so personalized now and you have all of your data in the phone, you're reluctant to allow anybody to even utilize your phone to make a quick call. Not only that, there's so many hackers doing so many crazy things, you know, you never know that one slip of your phone being in someone else's hand could be your data being breached in some kind of way. So there's a lot going on with the electronics, and each time we decide to upgrade, we lose something. We lose more of our personal data. We lose more of our rights. Every app you download, you give up something. I just saw a video yesterday where I forgot this guy's name, but he was talking about the TikTok terms of agreement that you give them permission to record every keystroke you make, as track you on every other type of device that you're on, track this and track that and look into this and look into that. They've even upgraded the Zoom app where you now have to give up your rights to your files, your personal files, in order to utilize this tool. And so each app that you guys get excited about, let's download this. And yeah, this is the quick new thing to get into, and let's download that. And we're just constantly giving over our data to people without thinking. Now, I realize that the younger generation really don't care much about privacy the way the older generation do. But I remember back in the day when we knew that certain things were private and certain things were public. And we let public things be public and we let private things be private. And now everything is public. All of your personal information, stuff about your personal relationships, your household, everything, you just put it all out there because you feel like everybody needs to know all of your business. And so you're not thinking about the level of privacy you're giving up to every app, to every circumstance and situation where you can have things uploaded to the cloud, and that you keep buying into more and more and more of these things that are enslaving you more and more and more. And this is how the roller coaster ride is taking over humanity, and we don't see it because all we see is quick, efficient, and easier. Quicker, efficient, and easier. But everything that is deemed quicker, efficient, and easier is not always good. And if the masses could stop buying into the foolishness, maybe we could slow the train down and keep some of our autonomy and keep some of our humanity in a process of fighting this war, which I said is a war for the soul more than anything else, even though technically we're in World War III when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. That Ukraine situation is us. That's the reason why Biden's giving billions of dollars to them. But that's a whole other topic. I digress. I'm sorry. Back on what I'm saying. I have an old Mac, and it's considered vintage now. I went to go get a battery change in my Mac computer. I got the Mac back in, 2013, I believe. And so now when I take it up there, it's like, oh, you have a vintage. So my vintage Mac has ports where I can put my USB, upload stuff from a camera. There's a lot more to this Mac than the newer one. I got a newer one recently because I thought I didn't know what was going on with the battery, so I had to upgrade and get another one. And I have to find a hub just to be able to plug in, you know, a USB drive or something, because it needs extra stuff in order for it to operate. Otherwise, it just won't give me what I need. So I'm like, why is it that the newer version of this MacBook Air has less to offer me than the old one? And so you get tricked into thinking you're getting new and better, but really you're getting less and less, right? So all I'm saying is, in the war that we're in right now, faster, easier, quote unquote, more convenient is not always the best way to go. When you get the Roomba vacuum cleaner in your house, the Roomba, yes, it vacuums your floor, but it's also counting every square inch of your house. It's giving a whole diagram of what your house is all about so that it's uploaded to the cloud. Anybody wants to hack in there and know everything about your house, they can know it through something like that type of technology. Also, the Ring Cam. You know, just recently information came out about the Ring Cam selling your information off to another, or giving information to the police station without your knowledge. So there's so many things that you think is easier and convenient, having Alexa in your home, having all of these devices where they're constantly recording you and you're not even paying attention to the recordings that's happening on a daily basis, because all you see is quicker, easier, and more convenient. Now you have every appliance in your house talking to you. Your television talks to you. Your refrigerator talks back to you. Your microwave talks back to you. Your ice machine talks back to you. Like everything, this whole giving over your humanity to computers is not a solid idea to hang on to who we are as a people. I'm just saying, it looks cool. It seems cool. It looks like a great new idea, but it's not always the best way to go if you want to hang on to some level of autonomy, if you want to hang on to some level of privacy and some measure of humanity. I know that there are a lot of people who are considered computer geeks, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the problem with humans is sometimes that we don't know when enough is enough. We keep going and going, and enough is never really enough. You know, we continue to keep pushing the boundaries on our humanity until sooner or later you look up and there is no humanity anymore. You're just living in a virtual meta world.
is that really what you want for your life? You know, is it really the way you want to live? Is losing all that is human and sacred and beautiful and even private, is that the life you truly want? Is this the way we want to go down in history? If not, reconsider your love of all these new pieces of electronics that keep getting introduced to you. Newer is not always better. Newer is not always better. I'll say that one more time. Newer is not always better. What triggered this thought pattern for me to come on and make this video? So I've been telling you that these dreams have been amping up. And people that generally don't even have these types of spiritual dreams and downloads have been opening up and having these spiritual dreams and downloads. And they've been really seeing things like that's about to take place, or getting forewarning about things and the stuff that you can't shake. So my niece told me about a dream she had recently where all of these push to start cars, these cars with these key fobs that don't have a regular key, she said, were running out of control and they were just going. And I said, there was a reason why I always said, you know, even if I upgraded, upgraded one of our vehicles, I said, even when we upgrade, I want a vehicle that has an actual key. I do not like this keyless, remoteless thing. Anything that have that level of electronics, any car have that can, you know, have this selfless, where you drive, allow the car to drive itself and all this stuff. It has an opportunity to be hacked or taken over or shut down or whatever. I'm leery about things like OnStar, because though it sounds like an amazing thing to have if you should have an accident, if someone hacked it or someone decided to do something inhumane about using that piece of equipment, you could get shut down. You could get your car taken over by entities that were not supposed to be, you know, taking over your vehicle in a certain way. So anything that is computerized in that way has the ability for you to lose control over it, or for it to be hacked and misused against you. So she has this dream about the cars driving all over people and driving all over other cars and things because they're just out of control. And then the other part of that dream was, American dollar was down to nothing and the Canadian dollar was so much more the American dollars that people were literally looking all over the ground trying to find Canadian money. I don't see that far-fetched. I think that's a fair warning from the ancestor about things that are coming. The way we have been used to living is not going to be like this a whole lot longer. And I think the American psyche is not ready for this. I don't think the American psyche is ready for this at all. We're so spoiled. We're so spoiled as an American people. We feel like this is the way it's always been. And even though things have been amping up on us, we are still not convinced that it all can be taken away in a matter of a moment. And so I'm just telling you to be careful, be mindful about how much of yourself you're giving over to the system willingly. It's one thing if things get hijacked and taken from you, or you get pushed into a space where you have no choice. But it's another thing when you constantly give up the elements of you that you can control. You don't always have to have the newest gadget if it's going to mean giving up your personal autonomy and humanity. It might be something to think about if you want to hold on to our personhood at all. Just a thought. So So I don't mean to stay long, but I wanted to put that out, and I wanted to make sure that I was talking to you from the heart about not only things to come, but things to think about that you can do on an everyday basis that will help you to hold on to a little bit more of yourself, things that you can do to be prepared for things to roll that's rolling out. Don't be caught off guard if you can help it. And if you do, and you just not listening to what, you know, what the warning signs are, or given all the information that is being put before you, not paying attention to it, you can't say you weren't warned this time. You know that saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, right? So fair warning, fair warning, fair warning. I hope that you all having a blessed day. Until we meet again, I'm wishing you peace. Love.
Special guest is Nicola M. Hurst, and tonight's topic is just because it's new doesn't mean it's good. I'm going to open back up the phone lines, let our sister back in and see if she's still with us. Sister Nicola, you still with us?
I'm with you.
All right.
I'm right here.
We got about 11 minutes to go. You want to fill us in on some last information that we need to know?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity once again for allowing me to be on the broadcast to get this information out to civilians. I think it's imperative that we keep our eyes open and our spirits in tune and keep ourselves tapped in to our own inner knowing. You cannot trust your government. You cannot trust the news. You cannot trust your doctors. You got to trust yourself. You have to trust your inner knowing. You have to trust your gut. You have to trust that the spirit that lives within you will help you navigate the vicissitudes of life right now. If you have trouble with that because of childhood trauma, pain, addiction, or anything that you have had issues with that cause you to feel self-doubt, not feel like you can trust your own inner knowing, reach out to me at nhalchemy.com, Life Alchemy, Life Coaching. This is where I do my greatest work, is I work with the inner child. I work with the pain and the trauma of childhood so that we can get you to work out that stuff, give it a voice, and allow you to get back in tune to yourself so that you can navigate your life according to what is deepest in you. You have the power within you. You have more power than you could possibly know within yourself. The spirit, the source energy, the one creator God, however you choose to name that source, because I'm not going to, you know, say it's this or that or the other. Whatever you choose to name that source, that's the source that lives within you. But most people are so afraid of having the level of responsibility over their own life and autonomy over their own life. They acquiesce it over to any and everybody, the doctors, the government, the people around them, anything, just so that they don't have to hold themselves accountable to governing themselves in these situations. If you're doubtful of how to do that, contact me. Let's do some inner child work. I have been holding a half-off special for coaching now for a month. I just decided I was going to extend that through the month of September. It generally costs about $100 for a phone session. Right now it's only $50 because I realized that people need some help and a lot of people don't feel like they can afford it. So I slashed my prices in half just to be able to offer the services that I can on the level that I can offer them. So please reach out so that you can go within. I say that because anything and everything that's not teaching you to go back within yourself, to trust your own inner knowing and your own gut, you need to question it. Right now, you can't even trust your church because pastors were getting paid $30,000 and up to get their parishioners to take their doggone vaccine. If you hear them skewing a message a certain way, just know that you're, I hate to say that, but your pastor been paid off, okay? I'm not going to go that deep in that. I don't think people can handle that, Taharka. So, but
be a knockdown drag out on him.
I know, right? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But,
Pastor Robinson.
I'm not going there. But, I mean, when you think about the people that have been pushing it over the pulpit, I want you to reconsider giving all of your power over to Pastor. Just saying, you have to learn how to trust yourself. You have to learn that the God that is within you can guide you. And there's help, there's spiritual help all around you. Now, that's one element of what I offer. At the beginning of one of my videos, you heard me talk about Legal Shield. That's another thing that I offer. I have a link for that as well. I don't know if you have it in your clip, Taharka, but
yeah.
If my link for Legal Shield is there, pull that up. You can contact Legal Shield for end of life stuff and just for regular, just having a lawyer on deck. You know, most people can't afford to just have a lawyer on retainer 24/7, so they think. But this is a program where you actually can pay $24 a month and have a lawyer on a team, a legal team around you for as much as you need it. And trust me, I wore it out because during the freak of nature 2020 freeze in Houston, Texas, where all of our pipes burst and all of these issues we had with our homes, my whole rental property had to be gutted out and redone, and I needed to know if I had the right contractors and everything. And so I called and worked my lawyers to death, okay? It was the best thing ever to say, let me put my legal. When the insurance company started dragging their feet about giving me my money, I said, like, you know, let me call my lawyer. And they put a letter out there, and immediately I started getting my money. So You can do that for $24 a month. That's all I'm saying. If you want to sell Legal Shield, that's only $99 to get in. And then you can do exactly what I'm doing with that. So that's another element. This helps you also to put your trust and your wills together for end-of-life stuff. And, you know, our people, we don't want to talk about this stuff, but we have to in order to prepare ourselves for things, because things are happening so fast around us. And the other thing that I would like to offer, like I said before, if you need someone to help you with your insurance policy or to get an insurance policy or just to basically help you to reconfigure your finances or whatever to construct what you need for now to go into the future, we can do that as well. So please contact me at www.nhalchemy.com, www.nhalchemy.com for any of those things that I listed. You can catch me on YouTube at Courage to Change. I talk about a lot of recovery stuff to help you work through some of those inner child issues, as well as prepping stuff and all those things that I talked about on the videos that was played today. And if you are one of those conscious people that you just need a community of people to talk to, please join us on Sunday nights, the end of the month, at 6:30 Central for the 11:11 Minded Meeting. It's been my joy to be able to speak to you tonight. Thank you so much again, Taharka, and peace and blessings.
All right, sister. We're certainly grateful for you being here, dropping the information that you did. This is vital information that you gave us, and we're going to be converting this broadcast into a video. I'll have that done tonight and get it up, and it'll be out there tomorrow, and I'll send you a copy of the actual video version of this. Will be up on YouTube, and all of your links will be there, and all the contact information will be right there to on YouTube. So right up under the broadcast, you can click the more button, and all of her stuff is dropped down for you to click on her links and get a hold of her, the Legal Shield, the coaching, the whole nine. It'll be right there tonight, I'll say about 11 or so. It'll take me a minute to get done, and I got to do it tonight. And but anyway, I certainly appreciate you being on here, sister, and I'll be contacting you in the future, and we come back and you can drop some more stuff, because you be on point with stuff. You be watching a lot of times. I be so busy doing stuff, and I can't keep up with everything. But if I got somebody else out there watching, they can come over here and tell what you saw. So we'll do it like that until I can see some stuff. And how's it? What's the weather like out there in Texas? You still back out there?
I'm still in Texas, and it's been raining. So we've just been getting a lot of rain here lately.
Okay. You in Houston, right?
I'm in Houston. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I used to live right there on West Park and Gessner in the Harbor Apartments in 1986. I was there.
And, really?
I didn't want to leave Texas, but they drugged me out of there. And I'm back here in Florida, but rain to me down here is a blessing, because I grew a lot of plants and stuff. And I look for every drop that come down, they say it's going to be raining. I be saying, yeah, let it rain. But anyway, sister, I'm going to go ahead and close down, and I certainly appreciate you being here, and until next time.
Thank you, Taharka.
All right, you take it easy. Good night.
Peace and blessings. Good night.
Peace and blessings.